Matthew Gospel 1 verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham will begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob, Jude, and his brethren. Judas and brethren. Judas is what you have as Judah. Judah begot Perez and Zara of Tamar. Perez begot Esrom, Esrom Aram. And you see that genealogy go till verse 16. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And I told you that the writer of the book of Matthew, you see the way it started. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the seed of the son of Abraham. And I told you that that's the way Mark also starts his own. I don't need to tell you. You see it in Mark 1:1. This is the book of Jesus Christ, the son of God. And of course, you know why he would use son of God and why Matthew would use son of David. Again, because of their audience. Mark was talking to primarily more of a Gentile audience. Of course, Mark was writing for Peter. And don't forget, Peter was the first person to preach to a Gentile who is a Roman, Cornelius. We'll see all of that, how all of that comes into play when we're looking at Romans properly. I think we've got in chapter 5. But when we see core issues that affect Gentiles, we'll see all of that. Alright, so, but what can we bring in from this? You look at Matthew, you look at Mark, you look at Luke, and you look at, this is 4. And you look at John, you observe that all of them wrote about how that Jesus, listen very well, or whatever they are about to write, is not new. What do I mean? Someone opens up a book and he writes, this is the book of the Genesis of Jesus, the word generation, Genesis of Jesus. Then he calls him the son of David, the son of Abraham. If I'm about to write something about Jesus, why do I have to bring David in? You know? Why do I have to bring Abraham in? That tells you that, listen very well, and we kept saying this, that they had what in mind? Genesis to Malachi. Of course, what we call Old Testament. I've told you, that's a very loose way of talking. Genesis to Malachi is not Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Alright? It's the Word of the prophet. It's the Word of God. Alright, but Matthew is about to write post-resurrection. Alright, so he brings in David and he brings in Abraham and he's about to write to you events that happened in the life of Jesus and post-resurrection. Alright, then he brings in David and Abraham. I've told you before, that means those who wrote the four accounts of the Gospels had it in mind that you have to read Genesis. So they have it in mind that you have to read Genesis. So you don't start your Bible from Matthew. It's the Word of God. And it starts from Genesis and it ends in Revelation. Is that clear? You know, some people have the bad habit of, you know, just saying, that one is Old Testament. Now we are in the New. No. Hallelujah. It is the Word of God. Alright? Now, that means whatever you're going to see Jesus say can be well traced to Genesis, to Malachi. Whatever you're going to see him do, for example, will be traced from the prophets. For example, when he brought out Koboko, you know Koboko? He brought out wheat in the temple. And they were buying and selling Bitcoin. It was dipping. It was rising. And then he brought out Koboko. And he said, my father's house shall be called the house of prayer. That's David. And Matthew now wrote that they remembered, John rather, that the zeal of the Father's house has consumed him.
Now, when he says the zeal of the father's house has consumed him, where do you think they are reading? They are reading Jacob. Jacob was the one that wrestled with the angel and called the place Bethel. Bethel is El Beis, right? Beis, you know Beis? Beis is family. B-A-Y-T-H. Family. Then El is used for God. So when you say Bethel, Bethel is actually Beis. You must have heard Beis before. We talked about it when we were looking at the temple of God. Beis, El, or El Beis. The family of God. The house of God. He says, he saw the angels rising and coming down. And when he woke up from the dream, he said, the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it. Then he rose up and he called the name of the place Bethel, meaning God was here. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Alright. So, when you now say, the zeal of some of the fathers has consumed him, is that Jacob? Eh? Alright, so again, you will trace the motions and the words of Christ to the prophets. In Luke 4, when Jesus went to the temple and he took the Torah, he took the Torah and he read. And when he was done reading in verse 18, what happened? He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled where? In your ears. So, meaning that his, listen very well, his life, his words, and his ministry, his actions, are actions of the Old Testament, in quotes. They are actions of Genesis to Malachi. They are words of Genesis to Malachi. So you can always trace, listen very well, Jesus' motions, Jesus' words, to the prophets. And that's where the job comes in, because a whole lot of people have disregarded some of the things in those books. And you've seen them as just stories. You know, for example, you just look at, if you go to children's church, people just teach Noah built an ark. In fact, people name companies after Noah ark and all of that. And then, what do I call it? The cocoa, what's cocoa? The substance, thank you. God bless you. That's the word. The substance of the story itself is lost. The substance of Babel is lost. The substance of Genesis 1 to 3 is lost. Because we have now looked at, the serpent in the garden, who is in the garden, the little serpent, all of that. Then we lose the real substance of the story. Again, every prophet was to minister the Son of God. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. God who has 100 times and never has man spoken on the fathers by the prophet. As in these last days spoken to us in his tongue. So again, God has always been speaking in his tongue or towards his tongue. So, when Matthew comes and he says, listen very well, this is the book of the beginnings. The book of the Genesis, of the generations of Jesus Christ. He is the son of David. He is the son of Abraham. What is he telling you? You must not neglect those books. You must not neglect the writings of the prophets. So whatever you are going to see Jesus say is not new. What is he doing? He is running commentary on the words of the prophets. He's running commentary on the words of the prophets. I've told you before, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are what? Progressions of the prophets. That makes sense? Come on, does that make sense? We'll see that much more when we look at spiritual growth. But, let's look at Matthew 16. Don't forget where we're coming from. We are saying that the words of Jesus and his motions can be traced to where? Alright, so if Jesus talks about discipleship, are we going to see it in the prophets? So if he talks about evangelism, are we going to see it by the prophets? If he talks about prayer, are we going to see it by the prophets? Exactly. So there is nothing you are teaching that is new, that the prophet never spoke about. I remember when we taught tongues, that'll be how many years ago now? 4 years ago now. That's verse 19. Eh? 18. Tongues. 2018. 5 years ago now. And remember we were looking at tongues from Babel, right? And we were able to look at, we were able to trace the motions of speaking in tongues from Babel. We looked at where languages start from. What's the difference between speech and language? Have you? You forgotten? So in this church. Yes, in this church. So you go listen to it again. Is that clear? You empower yourself to speak in tongues more. To understand what you're talking about. Alright. So again, that's enough to show you that there is nothing new. What we are teaching is to run commentary on the words of the prophet. That said, Matthew 16. Verse 1. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, they came tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of times. A wicked and adulterous generation, seek after his sign. There will be none given unto you, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and he departed. Verse 5. When the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Interesting. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith, why reason among you yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and many baskets you took up. How is it then that you do not understand when I spoke to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Alright, so Jesus was going and then the Pharisees came. We are going somewhere, so pay attention. The Pharisees came and they said, show us the sign. Then Jesus said, when it is evening, you guys said it will be good because the sky is red. That means the sun is setting. And then, if the face of the sky refuses to clear in the morning, you say, the weather will be bad today. So you can discern the weather, but you can't discern the signs of times. I won't give you any sign apart from Jonah, of course. That's a sign of itself. How that Jonah was buried in the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and then he rose up. Something like that. So Jonah's story was to tell you about the resurrection. Right? Alright? So he gave them that. Then he said to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then they started to question, is it because we did not bring bread? Is it because we did not bring this? Then he said, no. It's not about bread. Then later they understood, he's talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. And of course, that was what Moses also wanted them to understand when he gave them manna from heaven. Right? Moses gave them manna. And then they, you know, imagine waking up every day and then you have manna. Something like that. How about that? Huh? You wake up every day and when you get to the table, you see toast bread with orange juice. If you are fast, I'm sorry. You see toast bread, you see egg. Yeah. And one puller somewhere, you just see, orange juice. Yeah. Alright, so Moses, they had manna every day. Then Moses says, man will not live by bread. So he turned their attention from bread to what? Salvation. you are going to live by the word of God. Exactly what Paul was saying in Romans 1:16 and 17. That the gospel is the power of God to save. Then it says the righteous shall live from faith to faith. Alright? So again, Moses was also turning attention from bread to the bread of life. So Jesus comes and says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he wasn't talking about bread, he was talking about doctrine. Say doctrine. No, that sounds like five people. Say doctrine. That sounds like 15 people. Say doctrine. Exactly. So he was talking to them about doctrine. And he says, beware. And this is Jesus. These are Jesus' disciples. You know, sometimes, maybe I'm the one, but there's a way I look at them. For a second, think about this. But Pam is not your disciple. Sister Moyo is not your disciple. Jesus. Now, I'm not saying reason is like, I know Jesus is not a shepherd. I mean, every day, the person that comes to your room to do follow-up is Jesus. Because some people see this meeting. Imagine, like the person that calls you and says, where are you now? Have you done your prayer book? It's Jesus. You know, they are meant to be very strong, right? Like, yeah? What are you expecting? I mean, Jesus, who else should disciple you? If Jesus comes beside me, that's devil's trade. And then he tells them, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. That is very instructive. Meaning that, regardless of whatever he has taught them, there is something that can still corrupt it. Regardless of whatever he has said, there is something somewhere that can corrupt it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't forget, immediately after that was when they went to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Then Jesus said, who am I? Then he says, you are the Son of God. Listen very well. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. The exact opposite of what the Pharisees refused to know. He told them, you are not discerning the times. Did Jonah not tell you about the Son of God? Then he told them, don't take out of their doctrine. Then Peter comes and says, you are the Son of God. Exactly how Jesus wants him to respond. Are you following what I'm saying? It means there are things that will not be given to you. Or there are things that you will not know if you do not follow to the end. I'm going to explain myself very well. Now, because they would beware of the leaving of the Pharisees, Jesus will now tell Peter later, you are Simon Peter. On this rock I will build my church. Now, it means that the revelation of who you are would not be complete if you follow the leading of the Pharisees. It means that the things God will have you do, you might not be able to fulfill them if you follow the leaving of the Pharisees. And don't forget, the bread of the Pharisees, we are not talking about agege, we are talking about what? Doctrine. So, Jesus is teaching discipleship. He's teaching single-facedness in discipleship. How you ought to be in one place. How your eyes ought to be in one place. Stay one place. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't forget where we are coming from. We said, everything Jesus is saying, you will find it where? Eh? in the prophets. Have you in Genesis to Malachi? So, if you want to actually do what God would have you do, what would He have you do? On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. Whatever you say on earth, whatever you bind on earth, shall bind in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. That's what He will have you do. You will not be able to do it if you are not a disciple. Again, I just thought to set the tone for the year. So discipleship helps us to achieve. A whole lot of people do not know why. Every now and then, listen very well, every now and then, they keep going 2 steps forward and 5 steps backward. When I was younger, I'm still young, but when I was younger, there's a way we used to think. How that, and some people still do it, and sometimes I just smile, and just so one day you come around. You know, someone tell me that he's learning faith, and he's learning faith from God. Faith, that's like the best person to learn faith from, right? So he's learning faith from God. Faith, then he's learning prosperity from who now? Bro, what? Learning miracles from Sister Bumi. Learning evangelism from Sister Moyo. What are you learning from me? Then, learning from Sister Dora, gifts of the Spirit. So, you find, and then you go to their laptops. It's funny. Then you see folders. Pastor Chris. Pastor Christian. Pastor Christmas. Pastor Chris Delvan. You have Pastor Chris Delvan, you have Pastor Chris Oyenka, you have Pastor Chris Oyakilome, you have Pastor Chris Okotie. You have Pastor Jesus Christ. And then, let me say this. You will never see progress. And I've seen it over and over again. Such people do not make progress. They will know things. Because you're opening up yourself to information. And information is not necessarily spiritual growth. I know, information is a vital part of spiritual growth, but not necessarily. I can have information and refuse to walk in it. I don't think you have more information than Judas. Or Demas. Demas was Paul. Paul's disciple. So I don't think you have more information. Amen? Amen? So, spiritual growth is not necessarily abundance of information. Like I always tell you, it is not the width. It is the depth. You've seen people, there was a guy like that at Easter. You know, when he talks, hey God, you know emojiism. I've heard emojiism before. When he talks, you know, there's a way people can talk and you know they're emojis. When you're talking to someone, he says, wow, wow, that's deep. That's deep. That's deep. Deep comes from the deep. You know, the scripture has instructed us. You know, when someone starts talking to me like that, this guy, I mean, I'm not deep like you. Just speak normally to me, oh. The scripture instructs us. Ha, ha, ha. No, not all Israel are Israel. You know, that kind of, I don't know Israel. Which one is Israel? Israel, not all Israel are Israel. Ha. Emoji, my brother. Just calm down. So there's this guy, he had that kind of, aura. And every time we go to Motion Ground is where we go to pray. It's called Motion Ground. I think you are too has a Motion Ground. I know there's another school that has a Motion Ground. Hey, Lauren. I think it's Lauren. So, I know if he has Motion Ground. So, Motion Ground is where we go to pray, very close to the sports center. Sports complex. So, every time we go to pray, this guy will just relay us on the road. We had just finished fasting, we want to go and break. I beg, there's no business waiting for me in the hotel. And that means if I'm not there fast enough. Amen? If you're not fast enough, you might fast to the next day. So, this guy was just willing us every blessed time. See, we started passing on that road. When we started passing on that road, we went to block there. Just to talk. I'm not talking. Come to eat. You know, just go, hey, Mochi, I saw the way you are praying. Alabakaya. Hey, Agbarawa. Agbarawa. And then you start talking and talking and talking. And I discovered that he had very vast information. Then one day, one of my fellowship brothers, he was a deeper life. I was attending deeper life. Then he told me, he said, Brother Adesino. I said, yes. Don't follow people that have information and they don't have depth. The truth is, it did not resonate with me very well on that day, till probably like a year after. He said it. He just said it. Bro Philip, that is his name. He just said it. He said, don't follow people that have information, but they don't have depth. Hallelujah. And that's what people do when they have multiple sources. Jesus says, beware. Be careful of what the Pharisees tell you. That is, what I have told you is enough. Then he told him, who am I? Then, in the revelation of who God is, Peter found the revelation of who he was. You are Peter. I said, you are Christ, the Son of God. He said, you are also Peter. And on this rock, I'll be my church. Because his eyes are seen. And that is how God has proposed discipleship. How did God propose discipleship? In one single-facedness. What I call it? Eh? That's like double, that's emphatic mention, no? One is already single. And I said, one single-facedness. Because of book I have double single-facedness. That will face this one for 6 months, I'll face this one, no. One single facetness. Joshua had Moses. Can you give me someone else Joshua had? Come on, talk to me. Any other person? No. No other person. So how do we make progress? And of course, Joshua did more than Moses did. Hallelujah. In fact, with lesser stress. Moses had a very corrupt people that were just disturbing his life. Joshua never had one. He was just chilling. Everybody that could give him stress, he had given them elders in their different camps. He had learned from Moses. Moses would send spies to the promised land. Then he tell them to announce to the people what they saw. Those ones said, we cannot do it. When Joshua sent them, Joshua said, as you are coming back, come to me. Don't tell anybody anything. Come and report to me. Because he was a true disciple. And we look at what discipleship does for you. I think that's what we'll title this. So what does discipleship do for you? It brings out what God will have you do. It brings out your profiting. And so Jesus told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. If you want to do more for God, then you'll be a true disciple. That saying says, a rolling stone gathers no moss. So some people are bent on learning everything. I remember there was a brother like that in 2016 or 17. I can't really remember. 16 or 17, one of the years. And he told me, he said, that he wants me to teach. You can't tell me what you want me to teach. Another one asked me a question. And I said, this question, I will not be able to answer it. If you will give me about 5 to 6 years. Then he went about telling people that I don't know the answer. That's fine. Amen. That's very, very okay. I just said, okay. Then he went about, he looked for answers himself. I don't know where he is today, but I don't see him doing anything. He's not doing anything, like, except he's doing it in stealth mode. He's not doing anything for Jesus. He went about looking for different things. He started attending different conferences. At the point, he went to one Benin Republic, one prophet that used to see something there. What are you looking for? The way God did it is that you only grow when you are focused. Jesus said, if your eyes are single, your body will be full of light. What if it's double? Darkness. That is, you only have light when your eyes are single. That's what discipleship does for you. It's like looking for answers. I remember there was a year like that. Crossover. People have they do crossover and all that. Now, we don't have the I don't know, is it culture that we could buy? Except the only crossover night we had one time like that was a teaching meeting. Remember that year? What was 2018? 19, Book of John. 2019.
Alright.
4 years ago. You know? And because of, yeah, just that, let's go into teaching meeting. Amen. Don't say, you are the banger, pam, pam, who are you? So, okay, the Greek word. And people are looking at me, and I didn't say Happy New Year, Happy King. Sometimes we don't understand yet, we are still trying to. So, we don't have an happy of that. Then, a point someone told me, he said, won't your members go to somewhere else? I said, anyone that goes somewhere else is not mine. I don't need to fight it. I don't need to now start doing the moment I have to call a service so that I don't have my members go somewhere else. Then you don't have disciples in the first place. Oh, you get what I just said now. You might have to now start crafting service so that you don't attend another service. I've been wasting my time. Amen. I said, I have not been called to work like that. Hallelujah. You raise the men who are single-faced. You look at Timothy. Timothy had Paul, and Paul had Timothy. Paul said of Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, I didn't say anything to condemn crossover. It's good though. I don't have any issue. It's a good practice. Good one. Just that we don't do it. If it falls on a Thursday, that would be very sweet. Yes, that would be very sweet. But that was a year like that I used to play game to the new year. How you enter the new year with play? Need prayer. What are you doing this? You didn't pray throughout the year. It's now quarter to 12. One sweat. You are wasting time. Hallelujah. It's just like all that you not study for exam. You know you study for exam. You know the exam is by 9 o'clock. You now woke up 6 a.m. You now started reading. You now saw someone that is sleeping. You now say he's not serious with the exam. He has read. Amen. Sunday. We were at a concert. Let me just say that one. I heard that some people were at one concert and they were to wait 9 hours for a secular artist. And that one was costing them. I said, God will punish you. New Year. Wow. 9 hours. And he said, he's going and pray. Is it pastor's weekend? That means you can stand for 9 hours. I was just learning lessons from Constance. You can, number one, you can stand for, everybody can stand for 9 hours. I already know that one now. So the least prayer you get is 9 hours. Everybody can stand for 9 hours. Then they now waited extra. So anyway, they can still wait. So yeah, pastor, they know it. I want to recover. They now waited extra. If it was a pastor that did not come early, that's not a man of God. Well, let's do that one. That's a very stupid thing to do early in the year. Alright? 2 Timothy chapter 3. So, we're looking at what discipleship really does for you. Jesus instructed his own disciples, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. We saw in Acts 2:42 how the disciples followed the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. In the breaking of bread and in prayer, they followed the apostles' doctrine. So there is something as such as, this is the person I know. The truth is, there will always be abundance of information. What did I say? There will always be abundance of information. There will always be. But God commits you into a place, to a person. Imagine if you were part of the churches, the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. And because you are just a rolling stone, you will take the instruction for the church in Simnia. You will take the one for Laodicea and you will say amen. The one for the church in Thyatira, no. Before you know it, you are an adulterer. In fact, that's what adultery is. Adultery means you have and you are still seeking another. It is a sin. Amen? That's adultery. Alright, 2 Timothy 3. This is what Paul says about Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But you have fully known my doctrine. That's Timothy. You have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecution I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. You are fully known. You have known my doctrine. You have known my manner of life. That's a disciple. And that's why in Philippians 2 verse 20, when Paul would talk to the church in Philippi, he said, there's nobody I can send to you. That's what Philippians 2. He said, the only person I can send to you is Timothy. Because like a son to the father, he has served me with the gospel. Philippians 2. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send to you Timothy shortly, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Can we read verse 20 and 21 together? To 22. No, come on. I'll wait for you. Philippians 1, 20 to 22. Want to go? But I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all speak their own, not the things you are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him. As a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I will send to you shortly. So as soon as I shall see how it go with me. He said, like a son with the Father, he has served with me. So there's nobody I can send who is like-minded. This is what discipleship is. He is what? Like-minded. Don't forget, you already said, you have known my doctrine. You've known my way of life. You are like-minded. Like-minded actually, single-minded with me. Your mind is one with me, wall to wall. You know what wall to wall means? You know this wall now. Try. This one. You know, it's not 2 walls. The wall here is the wall you see. Amen? Come on. Aha. It's the same bridge. So when you say wall to wall, that means we are one. If you collapse this one, you have collapsed whatever is outside. There's nothing outside. It's just one wall. That's almost the closest canal explanation for that like-mindedness. There's nobody that is wall to wall with me. That means whatever he knows is what I know. The reason why a lot of some people derail and then they find the wrong footings in their walk with God, listen very well, is because they know too much. They know too much, so their mind starts to wander. Yet God had a plan for them. If you have been with us here for a while, you will discover how we are moving. There are things we don't touch, and then later we'll touch. Right? There are things, there are questions that I'll just say, just give me some time. Not because we cannot teach it now. God be praised. There's literally no subject we cannot teach now. But should we teach it now? No. I really don't think there's any subject at all. I'm not laying any foundation for my Christian faith and beliefs. I'm not. I'm only building on whatever I already know. Is there anything we cannot teach? There's nothing. But are we going to now come and start doing series of teaching meetings and say, yeah, today we are teaching about the Antichrist? I've thought about that before. Yeah? That's not even a subject matter. Antichrist has been since before you were born. And it's not Donald Trump or Obama. And now you already know that one. Hallelujah. And so, some people know too much. Today you are listening to one prophet. Tomorrow, one apostle. One, there's one in the north. There's one in the south. There's one in the west. A rolling stone gathers nothing. Paul says, Timothy, you have known mine. He didn't say, you have known all the apostles' doctrine. No. You have known my doctrine. My manner of life. Even say you have known my persecutions, my afflictions, at Lystra, at Iconium, at Antioch. Then, in 1 Timothy, look at what he told him. You learn something? Verse 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to go back there, but let's read it now. Verse 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of believers in word, conversation. He's talking to Timothy. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in purity, in faith. Till I come, give attendance to reason and to exhortation, to doctrine. Which doctrine? The doctrine you already know of Paul, alright? Neglect not the gift of the Spirit that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, the laying of the hands of the elder. Meditate upon these things. Can we read verse 15 together? That your profiting may appear to all. The word profiting is the word progress. Prokope. P-R-O-K-O-P-E. P-R-O-K-O-P-E. That's your progress, your advancement. So, your advancement, listen very well, your furtherance. P-R-O-K-O-P-E. Your furtherance, listen very well, is in discipleship. How do you advance as a believer? How do you progress? You give yourself wholly to this thing. Which things? The things I told you. That's what Paul. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. The things I told you. The things I instructed you. Give yourself only to this thing. And then that's when your progress will appear. Meaning that a whole lot of people derail their own progress by themselves. Because they are not single-faced. Then they become like that seed or that ground that Jesus spoke about. The one that received the word. And because, you know, he had so much information. He said he was joyful.
One brother was telling me one time, was telling me about ministry of angels. I was just looking. He said to you, say, ha, I attended one meeting on the island. The ministry of angels. You kidding me? And I was looking at him. I said, that's good. That's so lovely to hear. Am I going to comment anything? No. Do I know about the ministry of angels? I've been teaching the ministry of angels since 2014. It's one of the ones I understand very well. I've seen an angel myself. Much younger than me, of course. Much more younger. More, like, I've said this before here. I've told this story before. Huh? Way, way more younger, and I don't want to see it again. I don't need them. Then he was thinking a lot of things, and he said, but recently, what you told me was that you were learning about faith and salvation. Hey, that seminar, someone just organized it. And what did you not learn there? That you can command angels. That starts. You can command angels and you can start calling number. Angels can show you number. Baba Debu? No, Baba Debu. Angels can start showing you a phone number. There is someone in this video. Your number is 081. That is what you went to learn. Before you said you are learning faith and salvation, you told me that you were listening to Daniel the prophet. Then I paused that one. It will pause you. That pause is exactly what your spiritual growth is doing. Paul says, that's when your profiting appears. That's when your progress shows. When you give yourself holy. Holy is singular. That makes sense? When you say holy, holy means you are going to give yourself only to this one. Singularly to this. Today you are on this Monday, today you are listening to that one, today you have told that one, you follow this one on Facebook, you follow this one on Instagram, you follow this one on Twitter. Nobody's going to stop. I don't have time. Amen. I don't trace people. I don't even have time to be looking at who you work on time. Don't even follow yourself. You follow me, I just wasting time. As you can already see, I only share various articles. Hey, you're welcome. Well, just go to where I'm sharing and go and share. Well, you're following this one, you're following that one, you are reading everything. That's not holy. That's not what the scripture teaches. And don't forget where we started from. We said, everything Jesus is teaching, we see from where? From the prophets. So let's look at how your profiting appears because you are committed to one person. And because you're committed to one place. Every time someone teaches this, it always appears like, oh, is he just trying to ensure people listen to only him? If you're going to listen to me, then you listen to only me. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to listen to only me. They're not bother listening at all. Is there something that's not clear in what I just said? I mean, don't bother listening at all. That's not how you make progress. Eventually, you heap up a lot of problems, and then you still ask your pastor to come and solve it. As per what? Remember, there was a brother that asked me a question. I said, I'm not your pastor. I'm not obliged to answer this. You have a pastor? He said, yes. Ask your pastor. So I just thought that you know this. I said, I know it. But I'm not your pastor. Don't let me cause problem in your life. Amen. Am I going to tell him a lie? It's not a lie. Am I going to tell me the truth of God's word? Yes.
I'm not a pastor. I'm not the one God is going to give things about him. I'm not the one God is going to instruct about him. And I respect that. Amen. Respect that. I said, honor your pastor and ask him that question. He said, then I can make you my pastor. I said, no, that's not how it works. I wear Kuba in here now. He belongs in Bok. He's like, Enrolega just jack, and he said he wants to be coming to your house. No. You go back. They will sell you. Hallelujah. Your prophecy will appear to you. So, let's look at an example of commitment that eventually paid off. From Genesis to Malachi. I want to look at Benaniah. You know Benaniah? Have you heard of the name before? In the Bible? You know Benaniah? Let's look at Benaniah. 2 Samuel. I want to look at what? What discipleship does to you. Alright. Don't forget, we have first established what discipleship is. Discipleship means you are learning from Jesus and the Pharisees. Yeah? You are mixing the living of Jesus and the living of the Pharisees. Yeah? Discipleship means you are going to beware of what? The living of the Pharisees. Again? Of course, in that instance, it's bad. But in Paul's instance, there are people that will teach you good. Like the person that came to me. It's not like I was going to deceive him. It wasn't like I was going to teach something else. No. But in God's plan, that's not how it works. That's how it works. When I was on campus too, there were times people came to my rooms and all of that, and they asked questions and all that. And often I'm always very reluctant. But of course, I was younger. So, imagine when you have roommates that you know it's God's Bible with you. And then someone just physically enter your room and come and ask Bible questions. I'll just lock the door. I've seen someone I will talk to you today. You know, that's the way it was to me. I've seen someone I will talk to. Oh, Darren. Can you prophet to you? You ask some questions there. There was one particular brother that used to come. Then there was one that now is God, I liked it. Chooks. So he will come. After that, you know, I will give him food. He just come. I like that this one was coming every day. But I had a listening ear. I like that answer. He's funnier than this Sabino's guy. He looks like him. Exactly. I like that answer. What about Peter? Okay, I answered Peter yesterday. He said, answer it again. You know, and then after that, we did that one for like almost a whole semester. Well, I love him. Alright. So we are looking at the what discipleship does to you when you actually do discipleship. Because a whole lot of people they think they are doing discipleship and that's not what they're doing. You think, it's all about just learning anything. No. It's about learning from that source. Doesn't mean that listening to every other person is bad. No, it means your eyes are single. Right? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, we are looking at Benaniah. I think Benaniah actually. Verse 20. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, if you know Jehoiada was the priest, the son of a valiant man of Kazbel, who had done many acts, he slew 2 lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Amen. He gives us an introduction to this man. That's where we are coming from. So he said, Benaiah, very nice guy. The son of Jehoiada is a priest. Of course, he was the captain of the servants of David. So let me give you the background. You see that? Let's read verse 23. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. So again, he was the captain of the servant of David. Of course, you know David needed guards. Amen? There's someone that needed guards. Okay, that's David. Saul was after his life at the time. You know, imagine someone chasing you. Not spiritual. Physically. As you are just going for the evangelism, just see arrow. Arrow in front. Yes. You know, then later when Saul died, the enemy doesn't give up on people who serve God. Absalom rose up. How about that? Your own son. Absalom, David's son, wanted to take the throne. And decided to seek after the father's life. So, David needed guards. You know, every president has DSS and all of that. So, Benaiah was like that.
So, I've given you the background. He was the captain of David's army. Alright, let's read on. Verse 21 now. 2 Samuel 23, verse 21. So, we have seen how many things about him. He was captain of David's army. 1. 2. The son of Jehoiada. 3. He slew 2 lion-like men. Lion-like means, of course, is the son of Ariel. How many of you have that in your own version? He slew the sons of Ariel. A-R-I-E-L. You didn't have that? Alright. The sons of Ariel, that's lion-like men. Alright. So, he killed two of them. Interesting. Then he also slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. How about that? Going to the pit in the time of snow and killing a lion in the pit. You know, killing a lion in a very large space is very easy. In case you see that it's almost the other way around, the lion is about to do what you're about to do to him. You can know how to talk to your legs. Amen? Eh? You know, you are best in sorrow. And when your leg only understand one language. Amen. It's in both. Alright, so, but he went into a pit. He went into a pit to kill a lion. That's a strong man. In the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian. A goodly man. An Egyptian had a spear in his hand. But he went down to him with a staff. And he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. And he slew him with his own spear. Who does this remind you of? David. Let's read it again. The goodly man is a giant. How many of giants in your book? Goodly man means a man that is enough. So it can be both it can be both Benaiah because he was strong, and it can be the man. Historically, he's actually a giant. He's three giants. Alright? So, let's read it again. He's three an Egyptian, a giant. An Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and he went down to him in his staff, and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. What has another version about KJV? Where's that Elizabeth? You always have. Alright. Just that part alone. No. Is it 21 where it's priest or what? Alright. A huge man. So you can see that. Alright. Who has another adjective? A spectacular man. Is that another one? Huge Egyptian. So again, like I said, history has it that he was actually a giant. A very... Alright, but you see how KJV can deceive you. A goodly man. He said, oh, he's very good. A giant, like me. Huge. A spectacular man. Alright. Alright, who had a spear in his hand? Then he went out of the room with his staff, and he brought the spear out of his hand, and he threw him with his own spear. Who does that remind you of? David. Who does that remind you of again? Alright. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, an odd name among the three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30. For he attained not to the first three. And David set him over his guard. Amen. So we see a man who killed men that were as brave as lions. Lion-like men. We see a man who killed a lion in the pit, in the midst of the snow. We see a man who slew a giant with his own spear. But one of the things we would take note, he was one of David's mighty three men. You remember those three men? The one that when David said, I was thirsty. You remember them? Remember them? David said, I'm thirsty. Is there like water around? And as David was still looking around, they went into the camp of the enemy. That's the last place you want to enter. They went into the Philistines' camp and they brought water. That water means that they killed nothing less than 30 people. When David saw the water, David poured it on the floor. This is what, this is blood. this is not aqua again, this is blood. But Benaiah is one of those three men. You might not hear his name, now you do. These were David's men. Say, Pastor, so what are you now trying to tell us? See the prophecy. He is now doing what David did. Benaiah will kill a lion because David did. Benaiah, listen very well, will slay giants because he had stayed with David. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you listening to me? Sometimes, listen very well, your discipleship, what it will do for you, what discipleship will do for you, is that it can multiply your abilities. For example, I've never been timid, yeah? I've never been timid all my life. Those that know me, I've never been that shy person that would stay behind. No. I've always been open. But I'm shy. That's the irony. I'm actually very shy. Out of my father's children, I think I'm the one that is most shy. I don't like to go out. I don't like to even talk in public places. But if you put me in front of a million men, I'll talk easily. But if you say, let's go and do something else, I don't want to be there in that place. So some of you don't know that I'm shy. Hey, Pastor. I don't understand this one. I just told you something. It might be of Brogan. When someone told me that Brogan was actually very shy, the son was saying that Brogan was very shy. Everybody was like, the man that will come to you when he's preaching, say, you know, there's a lot. Is that man is shy? And said, he can't even look at you eyeball to eyeball. I can. Amen. My good not will do any. I can. So you can look at me, I'll fail. Next time he's correcting me, I'll look at who? You don't want to look. Alright, so. But one of the things that she did for me, it wasn't that just that courage. It was coordinated courage. Where you can now teach. Now, I never used to teach like this. I used to be more of an erratic communicator. You know what erratic means? Just sinusoidia. Where it's not coordinated, you know. I know what I want to talk about and I have the information. But I just keep going, I will touch everything, you know. But you might not understand at the end of the day. You just know that he spoke about faith. And they spoke about love. How we are going to join together, we don't know, but that was how it used to be. And then I began to be taught. And one of the things he did for me was, even without notes, of course I use notes every time. I told you the use of notes is in the ministry of the gospel. Have you? Romans, have you? Some people have slept that time. When? Notes. Writing notes, remember?
You rehearse in the years of Joshua after you have written it.
Okay.
So again, that was what discipleship did for me. Now I'm talking about things that you can see physically. But much more, you know, even in the healing of the sick, if you are a faithful disciple, you will discover that what your pastor can do, you will begin to do it. Sometimes without laying of hands. Sometimes without any special prayer. I always tell people that, you know, I'm going to say, lay hands on me, lay hands on me. Sometimes you don't need it. Let me tell you what is more powerful than laying on hands, discipleship. That's ardent followership. That's stoic steadfastness with one person. It gives more results than the laying on hands. More results than prophecy. But because we are in a world where people, you know, they value what is spectacular over what might appear ordinary. You know what discipleship does for you? What it did for Benaiah. You will begin to slay lions. And you know that. Benaiah was wondering, how can I kill the lion? I killed the lion! And everybody wondered, Benaiah, how did you? Benaiah had been with David. Benaiah, how did you slay a giant? He had the infantry. Did you observe how he did it? Exactly how David did it. Had no spear with him, went to the giant, took the giant's spear and killed him with his own spear. Exactly what David did. David used stone, Benaiah had a staff. But both of them went to the giant and killed the giant with his own tools. Do you think that was just coincidental? No. That was not accidental. That was not accidental. He must have heard. He had the bravery and the courage to walk up to the giant. Because that's how David does it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does discipleship do for you? It multiplies your abilities. Paul said, there's nobody that will teach you the way I will teach you. Only Timothy. How did he know? Timothy has been with me. He will tell you what I will tell you. Meaning that discipleship will make you start doing the very things that you thought were afar. The very things that you thought, this thing is, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where did I learn to minister consecration and to handle prayer meetings? It is that issue. Hallelujah. That retreat, we can do it for 4 weeks and we'll have a new teaching every day. And we'll be praying every day. And every night, if we go through every night, you have a reason to pray. You know, the first night you thought that was what the prayer. This is where we pray. Then we come again. Where are you? And when you knew where you are, you started praying again. Abby, I hope you have left that place where. Hallelujah. You have left that one. Then we came again. Never say hello. And he said, the grave has not said hello. And then we came again. Some people have abusing me. They said, after we have, you know, abuse, yeah. After we have prayed for like 5 hours, pastor will now come and say, is this how to pray? Sorry. Hallelujah. But did you not pray more? You prayed more. Now, someone else, let me say this, might not have the ability to minister like that. And it's not because they are not people of prayer. It's not because God's grace is not at work in them, no. But it's a grace that came with discipleship. So sometimes, if you lack in ability, and your pastor, your leaders are doing it, you need to find out who you are listening to. and how you are listening. Are you listening to me? Let me say this. Whatever I can do, you can do. But by God's grace, I flow very well with revelation gifts. Very well. I mean, very, very well. And you can. You can. You should. Because you are my disciple. Who says, steer it on? See what he told Timothy. He said, you are going to steer it up. He didn't say by prayer. When he said steer it up, he said, you meditate. Go and listen to everything I've told you again. That's how you are steering it up. So discipleship, listen very well, and ardent followership steers up what God can do through you. Benaiah, a lion killer. Why? David is a lion killer. Benaiah, a giant slayer. Why? David is a giant slayer. You observe that what Elijah did, Elisha did it. Elijah, when he was going, he parted Jordan. When Elisha came back, what did he do? He parted the same Jordan. Because discipleship gives you the abilities of the disciple. Discipleship gives you the abilities of the disciple. Jesus taught 5,000 men, then he gave them bread. What did Peter do? The day of Pentecost, 3,000. Immediately after, how many? 5,000. Did they eat bread? Yes. They continued steadfastly. They were breaking bread. Meaning that he both taught them and did what Jesus did. Albeit maybe without a miracle this time around because they had enough bread. Abi, when you have enough bread, we still need miracle. I told someone, I said, God wants to provide for you, not give you a miracle. How about that one? That's never been God's intended plan that you just live by miracle every day. Miracle every day. Every day, motor is about to jam you, just escape miraculously. Is that what you want? Every day you will get F, but you have to miraculously turn to C. No, why can't you just get A directly? Would you rather have a miracle that supernaturally provision came for you, or you have a job that can pay you very well, and then you don't have to hope for a miracle? How about that one? Hallelujah. I didn't know I'd be anybody that wants a miracle. But when things are tight, a miracle will happen for you.
Amen.
So, what discipleship does is that it gives the ability of the disciple. You begin to do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Say, why can't I teach like pastor? Watch how you listen. And watch who you listen to. If you can't minister healing the way I do, I'm going to be shocked. I'm going to be shocked because I believe every girl's house church member who listens to me very well should have that ability in them to minister healing to the sick. Amen. To have sights and sounds of the supernatural. To be able to flow very well in utterance. I believe you should. Amen. So, what does discipleship do for you? It gives you abilities. So you start to do the very same things your disciple can do. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then immediately, Peter said, you are the Son of God. Jesus said, you are also Peter. You are Peter. You are Peter. So, again, in the revelation,
of who Jesus is, he found himself. But all those will come when your eyes are stinging. Some people want their influence is from everywhere. I remember there was one brother, I said, I listened to Bro Egan for Faith, I listened to Reverend Copeland for this one, I listened to Andrew Womack for this, I listened to Joseph Prince for this one. I said, you are doing yourself more harm than good. Every one of those people are wonderful people. Hallelujah. But that's not how to best the supernatural. That's not how to best your walk with God. Timothy had Paul. In fact, Paul told him, he told him people not to associate with. That's how serious. Paul said, you know, Alexander the coppersmith, stay away from him. He offended me. Can the pastor tell his members to stay away? Yes. He said, me, I will not stay away. Ah, nobody. I don't inherit people's enemy. You're a stupid boy. He's not saying he wants to kill your father. Like, I don't inherit people's enemy. I don't inherit people's enemy. My father's enemy is not my enemy. My father, he wants to kill. He doesn't want to kill me. Ah. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith, if he wanted to harm me, he will harm you. Except you are not my disciple. Because you will say the things I said. You will act the way I acted. Hallelujah. You will talk to him the way I talked to him. You are my disciple. That's what the one I heard. One said, I don't inherit people's enemies. My father's enemy is not my enemy. Are you sure that there's wisdom in what he says? That is the extent discipleship can go. Be a follower of your local church. Be a follower of your pastor. And see where God will take you. And see how with ease you will now be able to do the things you never thought you could do. Because oftentimes you are going 5 steps backward yourself without knowing. Because you wanted to be like someone else. You wanted to hear someone else. You wanted to talk like someone else. No, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be like Benaiah. And you see that you can slay lions because David did. You see, you can slay giants because David did. What a man. Because as we go into the year 2023 and as we journey, we will need extra abilities. Is that right? What a great year is going to be. What a great year. I said it already. I called it since November. What a great year. We have prayed. We prayed and we'll see the result of prayer. Is that right? Uh-huh. When we walk into a room, we walk like people that God sent there. Huh? And we will need more abilities. Is that clear? You will need to learn how to teach more. To communicate God's plan more. Clearer. You need to learn this to heal the sick more. Is that clear? To be sharper in the things of the Spirit. To be sharper. And the quickest way we can have that is discipleship. Is that clear? I remember those the time. I said, you talk like Pastor Sosa. I said, that's the person that taught me. You talk so much alike. Would rather me talk like the devil. Have you heard the devil before? If you hear me talk like someone else, then I'm a bastard. I want to talk and minister and do everything the way I was taught. I'm not looking for extra references. I don't need it. I don't need it. Do I appreciate everyone who has contributed to my growth thus far? Yes. Do I appreciate men of God around the world, especially in my own country, Nigeria? I do. I'm not one of you that I know we have men of God in Nigeria. You know, sometimes they bring foreign pastors and I'm just shaking my head. God, what? With all due respect, you know, there are things people are teaching that I don't see what is wanting in this country. There are people who teach it and more. But my heart is single. And I know where God is taking me. So what does discipleship do for you? It enhances your ability. Go back to that 1 Timothy 4. Go back to that 1 Timothy 4. You there now? Now says verse 15. Meditate upon these things that I have told you. Give yourself only to them. Can you see that? Give yourself only to what Paul told you, Timothy. Then your profiting, prokope, your profiting will appear to all, your advancement, your furtherance. So you don't, if it's God that you're not going forward, your prayer life is not improving. What are you meditating on? Maybe you have double allegiances. Maybe you have, you have different sources. There's nothing you're looking for again now. He's giving you devotion now. Amen. Say, it's devotion I used to read this. Now they're giving devotion. You look at what? It's devotion. Say, it's books. Books are coming. Hallelujah. Books. Plenty books are on the way. Amen. By the time tongues and revelation of tongues come out, and the book is as tall as this. You know, books are to be tearing from where you bought it. You slice into two. And when you want to teach disciples, I will just say, I can speak in tongues. By the time you see the size of the book. Now, page 1. The books that lay hands are hard. If you lay the book on someone, you speak in tongues. You read books. Keep your eyes single. Your body will be full of light. Keep your eyes single. You want to make more advancement, more progress. Stay with what your local church gives you. A house divided against itself cannot stand. That's what Jesus said. I thought to say this before we begin our course for the year. That quite a lot of things will be in the simple things. Simple things. Simple things are just listening. Simple things are just staying true to what you taught. Simple things like just loving your local church and standing for it. Simple things like being a true disciple. And then you just see supernatural abilities. Oftentimes, what we pray for and then poramole. What's poramole in English now? The things you're rolling yourself on the floor and praying to God and fasting for. They are achieved by doing the simple things. Listen and be a good listener. Be a good follower. I love how Paul said it again. Paul said, if there's someone that can stand in my place, it's Timothy. Wow. That means, if I drop the microphone, if there's someone that will teach you this Thursday, that will teach you on Sunday spiritual growth, it's this person. He will talk, he will say what I will say. How about that? Can I say that of you? Hallelujah. And I say, joy, you know, there's no one that will teach like me. I can send that anywhere. Or you go and color it. You say, Pastor taught last week. What? Last week I was listening to Reverend Atuboton, Oluwalaegba, and he just said something. I was trying to mix it with what Pastor said. That's not a disciple. That's not a disciple. That's a DJ. The mixer. But you're a disciple. You're a true disciple.
and your abilities are multiplied. The grace of the Lord in your life is multiplied. You'll be able to do more this year. You'll be able to say more accurately, clearly, to communicate God's plan to His people. You'll pray better. You will heal the sick better. Your charismatic ministry is better. You can see and talk the plans of God better. You can disciple people better. Your strength is more. Your courage is more. Your resilience, your tenacity. You are not weak. Because I'm not weak. You are not weak. You are not weak. I'm not. Amen. Amen. I'm not weak. I stand in the grace of God. I'm not weak. I don't do like this. I'm not tossed. So you'll not be tossed. My convictions are firm. Your convictions are firm. My prayer life is sound. Your prayer life will be sound. I love Jesus. You will love Jesus. I hate evil. You will hate evil. That's what disciples should do to you. To make your progress show. See, then your progress will show. Like Benaiah. You know, when he was following David, nobody would know anything. Just, this guy is just following David. Now, he's no longer part of the 30. Yeah. David has made him part of the 3. He's just following David everywhere. Till he started killing lions. They say, hey. Later I said, who does that remind you of? He said, David. Till he started slaying giants. Who does that remind you of? David. You begin to do super ordinary things, extraordinary things for God. The places where you thought you were weak, because you're a true disciple, you begin to find strength. That's what discipleship should do to you. This year, there are some things that you just don't do. It's not about rolling on the field. It's about doing the simple things. Is that clear? And then you see God's hand in your life. You believe that? Pray for yourself tonight. My ears are listening, yes, I'm a true disciple. I'm a true disciple. I don't have double allegiances. God's plan for me in this local church is what I'll follow. I have good ears to listen. And my abilities are increased. What discipleship does to people will be done in me. God's plan in discipleship will be accomplished in me. Even as we teach spiritual growth and everything, supernatural abilities are mine by the power of the Holy Ghost. God's plan for me this year will not go unfulfilled. It will not go unchattered. Like I prayed in the retreat, abilities, grace to do that I have never done before. I've got it. Are you sure you're praying for yourself? God, you must be under control. I'm a true disciple, true and true. Of my pastor, of my local church. I wear the badge with pride. I don't allow the distractions of the enemy get to me. I don't allow it get to me. My eyes are single and my body is full of light. I'll slay lions like David. And slay giants because I am discipled to do so. My abilities are increased by the power of the Holy Ghost. I won't struggle.
I won't struggle. I will achieve God's plan for my life with ease. I love Jesus. Amen.
You know, if you observe the way the Old Testament puts it, it's got that everywhere they are lighted. For example, we read that story of that Elijah story in 1 Kings. Remember? The one we looked at during the retreat. They looked at that day and said, when Elijah was going, he said, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Right? I was in, and when they got to the place, they met the sons of the prophet. Now, that's very instructive. They met the sons of the prophet. They were not the sons of Elijah. They were the sons of another prophet. And they took note of that. But observe what they call them, the sons of the prophet. That is what discipleship looks like. Eli was the disciple of Samuel. So much that Eli is the one that will tell you that this is God talking to you. Amen? Like I said, when you hear it, this is what you will see. Hallelujah. That is how God has always brought progress to people. He gives them a man and he asks them to follow. But oftentimes the problem is always that people are always reluctant and they always want to mix Eli. You know, is there any other person you want to trace to Samuel apart from Eli? No. Go and look at the entire scriptures. You won't find someone that has two disciples. It is that instructive. You won't find one. Jethro discipled Moses. Moses discipled Joshua. You won't find another person. Amen? It is God's plan. And sometimes the devil masks it and says, ah, it's not just to God, just be subscribed to this program and just listen to this one. Now, it's not bad, because even, of course, whatever the devil gives to you, it's going to mask itself like an angel of light, amen? Don't you make it look, I've told you, if poison is served and the label is poison, will you take it? It serves as stir fry. Hallelujah. Stir fry, some sauce and some chicken. And so, it can never be poison. Hallelujah. God's plan has always been definite, clear, from the beginning. One man. When Jesus was going, he told Peter, you are the one I'm putting. Is that clear? You know, he didn't give it to the 12. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, did you hear of Andrew again? Not that he wasn't discipling people, not that he went away, no. But because Jesus gave a definite disciple to them, now he's the one that will talk. Is that clear? That's the way God works. And if you want to see that progress in your own life too, that's the way you must attend to it. And you teach your disciples to do the same. Is that clear? It's a year that we are going to achieve a lot as a church. I say it again and again. See, it's a year we're going to achieve a lot. We must stand as a unit with our eyes focused. Is that clear? Stand as a unit. Be your church person. Is that clear? For example, we share, what they share now? Devotionals, you share links to messages. Now, how can you go in there and you never told someone about your church and what you're doing and what they should be listening to? How can you go a full day without that? And you're not a disciple. Oh, you're a disciple, right? That's God's plan. And we're working it. We are working in God's plan. And our abilities are multiplied. Come on, just pray for yourself again.